RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! I actually just said that a minute ago, and you just disappeared. You weren't there.
I started hearing the sonar sound that you get from Skype when... Yeah.
Doot-doot.
I was like, uh-oh. All right, so I blinked out, and I...
And here you
called
are.
Called you back. Yeah, here I am.
You know what's crazy is we were just talking about how both of us are very scatterbrained today.
Yes.
So.
Oh, I don't know. It was just, last night was one of those nights where I left the studio and I was just completely disgusted with myself.
Why?
There's some time, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that enjoyed the show, but I'm such a perfectionist. And I think that around 85% of the way through the show, I did a little bit of a talk about science versus religion and how so much of what people call the science now, it has really reached a religious status, especially since it is for people say follow the science, and it references or at least creates the imagery of almost an oracle like source.
You're true. You're right.
The source, yeah, it's like one source that comes from the top of a mountain, and it doesn't matter if the scientific method leads other qualified people to other conclusions if you don't follow the bona fide science, which always lines up ideologically with the regime. Yeah, it's just – it's one of those things, but I guess it's just – oh, God, I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay.
And I feel like I let people down. Oh, we just keep droning on about it, but you have to work through it. So I guess it was just a dichotomy of having to talk about this stuff, but also just needing a break. I don't know.
You know what? I agree with you. I think that everybody is starting to hit that point of just needing a break. I'll agree with you 100%. I think that I'm yesterday I said, so I don't remember what I said in Telegram, and everybody was just like, nah, 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 nah. I'm like, whoa. Calm down. Like, everybody's so on edge, including myself, where things that normally wouldn't bother me, like, bother me. We're going to try and do a light show today. I have a lot to do today. And every day this week has been absolutely insane. Do you ever, like, I don't know if you guys are busy at work or how you are, Frank, about this, but, like, every time I were to start doing a task that I need to get accomplished, I would get a phone call or... something would happen and I wouldn't be able to do it. So then, like, my task list started growing and new things started being added to it. And then I couldn't get those done. And it just, then I had personal stuff to do and I couldn't get that done. And it just started spiraling out of control. And, like, I finally sit down at the end of the day, which for me is like 9 o'clock. And I sit down and I take a nice deep breath in and I sigh. And I settle in to do some mundane, stupid nonsense, like play a dumb game on my phone or something. And my phone rings again.
I know.
And I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I can't. Most people leave an office and go home and they're off, you know?
I agree with you. And I think that this is something that is happening to people. Sometimes in your situation, it's part of your, I mean, it is your job. That's just the nature of your work.
Yeah.
But in most people's situations, I think that we're all in that same boat in the way that everybody is encouraged one way or another, encouraged to go and fill up every waking moment of their days with some kind of content digestion, or they almost feel like that fear of missing out. Like, you don't want to be the one to miss the new headline or the new piece of whatever puzzle.
Or not and, know something.
Yeah. So everybody's always just fiddling and diddling. And it's those who find a way to balance that out, they're usually the happiest ones. As happy as you can be right now. And that's why when I – little things, like I got home last night and I was feeling like complete trash – and I ate a little something and I started doing my end of the day tasks. And I went to the bathroom because sometimes I just hang out in the bathroom, just sit there.
Me too.
Not like on the toilet going to the bathroom, but I'll just sit there. and just either listen to a podcast, or I'll lay on the floor. I'll prop my head, like I'll make pillows out of
so that's the only place we can go sometimes to get away from it all.
Oh, and especially during the winter time because the bathroom's so warm. So you just lay there. I'm just going to hang out in the bathroom for a little bit. And I have a small bathroom, so it's whatever. But I just took a look at the baby sleeping on the monitor. And I just got so excited. I said, okay, all my sadness kind of broke a little bit. I said, I cannot wait to see her tomorrow. And that helped me. That was good. And I think that's what we have. We have to find – everybody has to find that baby on the monitor feeling to kind of to neutralize this dank energy.
I was at we're doing this project for Viv. We're building this bed for her. It's been this long project we've been doing for months and months, and we absolutely needed to get some painting done on this thing because it's a long story, but it needs to be done, and there was no time to do it. So I said, I'm taking a lunch hour after I did some calls and stuff, and I ran over to do the painting, and I put my phone down and I put on like classical music and I just started painting just to get my mind off of things and take like a breather. And Frank, I tell you, I swear, I don't know why. There's no discernible reason. I can't point to anything. I just started hysterically crying in the middle of this garage painting for no reason whatsoever. Crying.
I'll tell you why. Because you found a way to kind of puncture that really hard surface, that facade that everybody right now is building up to not have to face this. It's an unbelievable amount of grief that we're all going through right now. Like we are in walking states of shock. It's almost like our nation, not only our nation, but the world, there is a verifiable level of catatonic shock that we are all living through. And we found ways to kind of patch it up and, you know, we formed adhesion. Yeah. So you found a way to break through that and to access, to feel something. And then all of a sudden it spills out. I mean, I've been in a near emotional wreck since the baby has been born anyway. Everything is emotional to me now because it relates to my daughter. But then you just add the state of the world on top of it and the unknown that we're going into. It's like it's almost like I don't know, but. It's not crazy.
Not to like be like have this be like all psychologist and, you know, kind of like a therapy session or anything. But it's funny that you say that. But like as I was sitting there like crying for whatever reason, I said to myself, it feels so good to feel something.
Hell yeah.
Like, I know that sounds crazy, but like I go through every day and I can't emotionally react to anything. And I've become like unemotional in a lot of aspects of my life, I think. And then just to for no reason at all, remember that I'm actually a human with emotions and feelings and cry. I like actually was happy when I was done. Like, okay, so I'm not completely lost then.
I'll add it, and remember, this applies to everybody who's at home listening too. Like on Monday night, I think it was Monday or Tuesday or maybe it was Wednesday night. I went on a pretty big tirade on the first half of my show when it came down to these Mark Meadows text messages and Liz Cheney and this January 6th scam that the commission is. And it's just it's just chapter 3 of Russia, Ukraine nonsense.
Yeah.
And I went on a gigantic thing here where we're talking about insurrection. What is insurrection? And I laid all that out. And then when it came down to someone like Liz Cheney, the progeny of a family that is so responsible, not solely responsible, but has a lot of responsibility in the murder of over a million people in the Middle East. And I told everybody, you want to talk about, you want to know who's running the show right now and who is reading these completely innocuous text messages with looks of dismay in their face, like they have uncovered something bombshell and they're regretful of what has happened to this country. They don't give a shit about any of us. I said, you have to think about something here. You have to think about, try. I know that it's hard to really envision this stuff because all the numbers that are thrown at us every day, whether it be 800,000 people because of coronavirus have died, try to envision hundreds of thousands of children dead. And that's because of families like the Cheneys. You have to try to really envision that stuff. And when you, Tracy, or anybody writing at Uncovered DC, or anybody at home that is taking interest in following along to what's happening in the world, we have to desensitize ourselves to what is really a massive pile of bodies, life that has been snuffed out for one reason or another far before their natural time. This is very gruesome work. To even not even those who are doing this as a living, but it is gruesome work just to be up on what is happening.
Well,
every once in a while to break that up and to realize just how much horror we are sifting through every day. It really it's trauma that we're working through. So when you find something that actually drills a hole down to the core and allows whatever emotion has been snuffed and repressed to come out, it can be volcanic at times, and you need to vent, and it's good that you do it, because more repression, really, it turns all that rage inward and you start getting sick.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you physically will get sick.
Yep. It's true. I for me, like yesterday, I read a story about a mother who, it was a VAERS report, overseas VAERS report, so not VAERS, but a, you know, vaccine adverse event report about a mom who gave birth to a baby boy. And when the baby boy was born, it was bleeding from its nose and its mouth, and it had blood coagulation problems and all kinds of other issues, cardiac issues, and the baby passed away within 24 hours. And the father was like, this is because she was, you know, she got the shot in her third trimester. She got it on this date, and this is what caused it. And you guys, you know, there needs to be some kind of a accountability for this. And like, the report goes out of its way to disconnect the two events. And I sat there thinking to myself, how many people all over this world are dealing with something like this right now, only to be told that they're absolutely insane, out of their minds, grandma killers who are perpetuating, you know, some big scourge against humanity. You see what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, this is insane that this is even going on right now. Like, there's, and I watched a video last night by, I don't know if you ever subscribed to the Suspicious Observers channel.
Yes, I watched them.
Did you see what they came out with? Because they're very, very scientific, non-emotional, to the point, straightforward. Okay. And they get crap from it because they won't jump on the next, you know, dramatic bandwagon of cataclysmic events and blah, blah, blah. And they debunk things like when everybody was saying there was going to be a global tidal wave from those volcanoes erupting just a couple months ago.
It's still, yeah, well, it's still going on.
They were like, no, I don't think so. Here's why. Here's the science, blah, blah, blah. And they kind of like poo-pooed it. And everybody was like, meh, 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 you don't want this hand. It was stupid. They did a video last night that I watched, which was really crazy. And it was magnetic pole shift, troubling numbers. And it was about, it was actually 5 days ago, but I saw it last night. It was about how the poles are shifting, the speed at which they are, and, you know, what happens when they do. And I'm like, if we don't get this right, God is going to fix it for us. Like, if we don't do this and fix this and as humanity, like, come together and do this right, God will do it for us.
It's just a process, too. It's a changing of seasons. It's, you know, the flowers, and you can only hold on so long before the fall comes, before the winter comes. And then, of course, the spring eventually. We are plugged into a never ending cycle. And a lot of it is mechanical, but a lot of it also is spiritual too.
Yeah.
And there's a consciousness factor there that has been largely discredited by those who are overly, overly obsessed with gaining power and authority through claiming dominance over the mechanical. And that's what I was talking about last night. When you talk about scientism versus religion, we have two polar opposites that are just as extreme and just as harmful. We are living under one right now, and that is this mechanical, soulless kind of religion that is technocratic and atheistic at its core, that has all of the trappings of religion when it comes down to dogma, it comes down to sacraments, it comes down to mantras and prayers and holy days of the week and all that stuff. And the one thing that you can get from these scientisms that we are living under right now, and those that live under theocratic rule in other parts of the world, where science is secondary to what is fundamentally expressed in one's holy books, the end result is always the same. You have a loss of interest in the full story of what's going on, a balancing between real scientific discovery and also emotional evolution. And then you also have this other situation where you have people who are completely blocked out to the idea of civil liberties. Civil liberties barely exist in theocratic states in the Middle East and North Africa or wherever the hell else they are. And it, just like right now here, where we are supposedly so progressive and so based, so committed to the science, that we are seeing civil liberties and civil rights completely evaporate before our eyes. So you have the mechanical, you have the spiritual. If you overload on one or the other, then it seems to be horrible for everybody. How do you keep a balance between the two? And that's really what we need to be able to advocate for now. And I don't know if that happens. That reset is always natural, or if it's going to have to come on the backs of action from little people who can see the bigger picture. But it's definitely what we're being presented with.
And you know, I want to say, like, as like downtrodden as this conversation has been so far, to go to the positive aspect of things. If there were no awakened, aware, you know, tuned in, you know, spiritually activated, for lack of a better word, people, they would have just done whatever they wanted without anybody complaining, and we wouldn't even be having this discussion right now. The fact that we are is a positive in and of itself. Like I had said yesterday, in a moment of like lucidity, like just talking about the people that we met over the summer, Frank, right? We had our little extravaganza event, and what do we do for 50 or so people, maybe 60 came. And I've kept in touch with all those people. We have our little chat that's still going or whatever. And a good chunk of them, Frank, are coming up to my house for New Year's Eve. And I just because I was like, let's have a big party. And they're like, yay. And they're all coming. So, wow. Yeah. So like, this is like friends. Like, these are friends now that we've met throughout this, that I never would have met ever, ever, ever in a million years if we weren't doing what we're doing. And everybody's always a little bit down on themselves. Like, I'm not doing enough, or I don't know what to do, or I'm too busy to do this, this, and this, and I wish I could, or I'm not finding value in my current job. The fact that you know that you are not doing something valuable or finding value in your current job just tells you how tuned in to your path you actually are. Because if this stuff wasn't going on, you wouldn't be sitting there saying to yourself, I have no value here, I'm not doing anything beneficial, I feel like this is a waste of time, and it wouldn't bother you. You'd just be like, ah, this is a job, and you'd go and do it, and you'd be miserable, maybe, but you wouldn't think of anything better to do. You know, like, it's just, there's all kinds of awakening going on. And I think that, you know, there are people who will tell you that, you know, I'm not a big theologian, I'm not a religious scholar. I've had this conversation with folks before where I have, you know, a very good relationship with God in my own way. And I pray all the time, and I'm constantly talking to him, and I'm constantly, you know, going through the motions of that. And it happens organically. I'm not studying the Bible every week. And some people take offense to that and say that I'm a bad Christian, if that's even what I am, or a bad Catholic or whatever. But everybody's reconnecting with that as it stands. And they say that God will be coming back to rescue everyone, right? And this is the end times. And I don't know if we're necessarily there yet. It doesn't feel that way to me. I think that we've got a shot to fix this nonsense, and that it's incumbent upon us as humans living right now to do that. Like, we have a responsibility to make sure that this crap doesn't happen ever again, and we stop it now.
Yeah. This crap will happen again, though, because it's happened. Just this is the second time, or I guess it's the latest flare up in a in, like I say, cyclical flare ups. But the whole point there is, how do you keep yourself I don't know. How do you keep yourself a little bit more sturdy? How do our species, because, you know, lifetimes are so short. And I don't find this to be a downtrodden conversation, by the way, because I think that it's very positive that regardless of all of the we don't make the news when we sit around and talk about what we see coming down from our state governments and what we see on the television and what's expressed by what concerning things are being expressed by people on with influence on social media, or how we see professional football players from all over the world going down and children being injured and information being suppressed. That's not news that we're making. It's just we have to be able to take the ride. And I think that if the sadder thing would be, is to have bought into the reasons for what is obviously something being thrown at us and sold to us and what has been a big scam. I think that it's great. It's really great that these conversations are happening. The one thing we have to do is continue to just encourage each other to find joy in life. You have to. And especially right now in Christmas and this Advent, the time of the year where people are Christians all over the world are preparing for the celebration of the incarnation of Christ. That's an incredible time to really contemplate what we all can be doing to bring forth from the ether, from our minds, from our hearts into the physical world, something that can make an impact. What kind of art can you create? Whatever that art is for you, is it spoken? Is it visual? Is it music? Is it gardening? What is it? What can you create? What kind of order can you create out of chaos where you are? What kind of joy can you bring to people's lives? Because it comes back in spades, 100%, and that's really the big thing. You don't have to think about, I don't think I'm doing enough. It is almost to be like Atlas taking on the weight of the world. It's not necessary. And the idea of bearing that kind of burden for one person, whoever the hell they are, is so detrimental to your own sanity that it acts as something that's counterintuitive and takes you down and to the point where you can't produce anything that is ever going to be enough or that brings joy to you or the people around. If you're not on a joyful pursuit, people can feel that and they're going to want to be able to take part in that joy. So don't stress yourself out ever about what can I be doing to I'm not doing enough. You have to just do little things, and those little things will, you know, be the George Baileys of somebody's life. You have to be able to make an impact on people around you in ways that you don't know. And that's why that's one of the greatest lessons in It's a Wonderful Life, is that you go throughout life and you make impacts on people in ways you can never actually quantify, because you're not the people around you. You can't actually absorb that experience of you from an outside perspective. So you have to help yourself. You start with the man in the mirror, and it's just,
you know,
that's it.
You know what some people can do is what you just said. You always hear about the impacts that somebody makes on somebody else's life after they died. Then everybody comes forward and tells stories about something they did that affected somebody, or something that the person that has passed away did that put an imprint on them or whatever. Why don't we all take the opportunity to find someone special in our lives that has done that for us and tell them now, today? Just tell them. You know, do something nice for someone else. Here's what you don't do, though. Don't run around screaming and yelling at other people that they're not doing enough or that they're not doing the right thing. Like, I see that a lot. Well, what have you done? Have you done this, 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 and this? Like, everybody does what they can. You know, I've met people so many times, Frank, that have come up to me and said, well, I'm just nobody. And I hate it when people say that to me. It says they, I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but somebody will come up to me and be like, I'm just a nobody. No, you're not. None of you guys are just a nobody. Everybody is so important. Like every single person. I know it sounds cliche and stupid, but it hurts me inside when people say that to me, as though because I have a big mouth or because I'm loud or because I have a platform that I'm more important than somebody else who may not. That is so false and so untrue and so, you know, everybody out there is special and everybody out there is important. And everybody out there who's spending an hour with us three times a week, Frank, like, that blows me away. Does that blow you away too?
Yeah. It's humbling.
Yes.
It never goes to my head. It only makes me grateful for having never stopped in all of the times over the last 12, 15 years. Because I've been doing this. I've been pursuing talk radio dreams since 2000. When I first put that first step forward was in February 2006. So, I mean, before then, it was just playing with CB radios and you know, just thinking about how cool it would be. But it's always just been, how many times could you have stopped along the way? And I'm just grateful that I didn't, because it truly is a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that we've actually become, in one way or another, part of people's daily routines. And I understand, just from what people express to me through the quite frankly audiences every night, I know how important me going live at 7 o'clock is to a lot of people now. And it's just as important to me. And I it's because I can feel that symbiotic exchange of energy. It's a circular conduit of really, really, really good stuff. And so that's where the response, I feel like as time goes on, more responsibility is heaped on. That's why when I leave the studio on nights like last night, I kick my own ass all the way home, feeling like I didn't put out a good enough show for people and that I could have done something better with the time. You know,
That happens to me sometimes too, after not really. I think our show is like so organic. Like, you never know what we're going to talk about.
I never know.
You never know. Like, I prepped the show.
At first I did. The first couple of months I would always text you the night before. So what are you thinking tomorrow? Then I just started saying, to hell with it.
Well, because I kept saying to you, I don't want to tell you what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Let's just talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember, I'm like, I don't want to plan it out. Like, it just, like, I just don't like doing things that way. Like, for example, Peter McCullough, Dr. McCullough calls. He says, okay, I'm ready now. I had no prep done for that interview other than what I just had in my head. Like, can you imagine if I had to prep out questions? I would have had to turn it down. So I'm like, I'm just going to ask what I'm curious about. And, you know, since I'm just a normal person like everyone else, they're going to be curious about the same things, or some people will anyway. And sometimes we get questions from people out there that are like, wow, I didn't even think of that. Just the human race is so spectacular. And I'm so like, this is a weird show today, Frank. It really is. But this is just what's happening. Like, you never know what we're going to talk about. I prep in the morning for a few hours before the show. This morning was light on prep. And here's why. Let me just tell this story now. There's this rash of TikToks going on across the country. I don't know if you've heard about these school TikToks that are happening.
What about them?
There's supposedly like a TikTok trend going on right now where kids are threatening to blow up their schools and shoot up their schools and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. It just happened in Greenwich last week.
What happened?
In Greenwich High School, about three or four miles from me, where I have a couple of family members that go there right now. A girl just got arrested yesterday for being found out to be the one who went inside of a bathroom stall and said, I think the message was, I start shooting at 11:30.
Yeah.
So things like that.
Yeah. So, yes. So this is going on all over the country right now. Like, it's like a thing that kids are doing, like whether or not they think it's funny. These certain children are deciding that this is something that they're going to be doing, is writing these things. They probably have zero intention of doing anything about them, but you never know. There's always the one, just like that last incident we had. And so for the past 2 weeks, I've been getting these emails from the school saying, you know, we're aware of a threat that said blah, 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 and we're taking action. And this is what we've done. And these, you know, tell your kids not to use social media in this way. And then finally, like yesterday, the district sent out an email to us all. Maybe I should just read it. So last night we were going to Little Helga's concert where she sang a solo and she sounded so great. And it was beautiful. The show was hysterical. It was like they did a Christmas carol, but it was a show. And the show was that the cast of a Christmas carol never showed up for rehearsal or to do the show. So they had to like randomly pick out people to do it. And they only had a few hours to practice. So like everybody was messing up their lines and screwing up, and it was part of the actual play, but it was so awesome. Like I was hysterically laughing. They did such a great job. And then they had like singing, and it was 2.5 hours long, and it felt like it was like 20 minutes. It was fantastic. But right before I get this, dear parent or guardian, it has come to our attention that TikTok messages have been circulating nationwide regarding school threats for Friday, December 17th. These posts did not originate from our area, and there have been no local credible threats to date. Based on news reports, the circulating messages have affected many school districts across our nation, and the origin of the threats is currently unknown. Local law enforcement and school officials are aware of the situation and remain vigilant. That doesn't really mean crap to me. I have no idea what remain vigilant means.
It means stay scared and paranoid.
So we get that. And then all of a sudden, there's an actual Snapchat message with specific credible threats against 4 schools in our school district. Now, we have one of the largest school districts in the state. So it spans a massive area. And it wasn't the schools that my kids go to. But I saw that and I was like, 99% of me was like, there's nothing to really worry about. Like, this is just a big nationwide kind of hoax. And then there was 1% of me that said, I don't know. What if I don't take it seriously? And then something happens. How could I ever live with myself? And so I know a lot of, I actually ended up calling the police, talking to them, calling the school, talking to them, getting my druthers about me, and then deciding to go with my original gut instinct and bringing the kids to school. But what about all the, there are so many parents today who have kept their kids home from school all over this. And this is where we're at. Where you can't even send your kids to school anymore. You don't even know what's going to happen when you send them there.
Well, this is what, okay. Well, this is here's another big can of worms. I was reading a article from Vox, horrible article from Vox. What the hell is it called? Let me see here. Well, I have it down. Here it is. It's called A New Kind of Religion Forming is a New Kind of Religion Forming on the Internet. Algorithms are surfacing content that combines Christian ideas like prosperity gospel with New Age and non-Western spirituality, along with some conspiracy theories. And it goes on to talk about this thing that is popping up with people about, hey, everybody, why does everybody think that things are satanic and demonic and they're interchangeable thing? Exactly. And they talk about, of course, they drop QAnon references. They talk about the coup on January 6th. They talk about the conspiracy theories surrounding supposedly life-saving vaccines. And the other thing is, the thing here is when you're talking about the kind of craziness that's coming, that is being expressed in these school districts, when somebody says, oh, why does anybody think that what happened at Astroworld with the Travis Scott concert, it's not satanic. I'm like, you have to understand something. We live, Satanism is the cultural norm. It is the cultural status quo in the way that it exalts the human experience. It encourages people to get rid of any kind of traditional ties, to shrug responsibilities, especially to human life. We can see that with abortion. We see these satanic churches coming out and saying you can't take away our abortions. It's a literal ritual. When I say that the country is by and large, I mean, obviously there's many Christians out there, but there's a lot of Christians who don't really practice and they don't know how so much of our current culture is satanic in the way that it is a pleasure first culture. It is an ego first culture, and it is a individual empowerment culture that has been morphed from individual liberty and independence to something that is just, I don't know, very petulant, bratty, and it devolves into chaos. Now, when you take a Astroworld, for example, it is a situation that is a microcosm of what creates an ever-flowing source of chaos in our larger world here, where you can start talking about school shootings and everything else. You have a closed system of people that are showing up to a concert that is littered with not only imagery, occult imagery. We're talking about sigils that are very, very powerful. for millennia of use in very occult ways. So people don't even really appreciate the gravity of sigils in themselves. But you have that. You have everybody is living in a state of pretty much hypnotism. You have the music that is always is very hypnotic in its way as well, too. Of course, there is the overlying layer of people being inebriated in one way or another. That is a microcosm of an over-medicated nation as well. There is so much going on in that microcosm of astral world that when you apply it to the rest of the country, that is in a state of hypnotism, that is in a state of the, you know, as Dr. Peter McCullough said, that one of the greatest threats to our physical and emotional health is also just this state of free floating anxiety. You have that. You have the substance problems we have. You have the demoralization of media and entertainment and education. You're creating a tinderbox that can only ever really produce tragedy after tragedy. That's why I've said on this show and my show many times, when you think about Parkland school shooting a couple of years ago in February, where you know everybody says, oh, it's a false flag. Oh, was it real? Was it fake? Oh, it's very real. When you create a situation, when you create a culture that is so in distress, you are going to create multiple tragedies. It's going to be – and if you're a part of the media – that is so married to government and intelligence agencies, and they're trying to run psyops constantly to steer a frightened populace into one direction or another politically and ideologically, all you have to do is sit back and wait for these tragedies to create themselves, and then you just have to report on them however you want. This is the state that we're in, and what you're talking about right now with – oh, well, you create these trends of credible threats and this and that, and it just adds to this fear. And then people with the Armageddon, the apocalypse fatigue, eventually just say, please, I will vote for anybody who makes this stop. It's a launching ground for the rise of the Antichrist. It really is.
So isn't it then incumbent upon those of us who are aware that this is happening, even when we step out, which we're doing today, and stare at this from a 40,000 foot view, which we're doing, isn't it incumbent upon us then to do our part to try to shift that kind of energy into a different place? Like, I meditate a lot because I soak up energy like it's nobody's business. And it just, I've talked about this before. Some people think it's crazy, but it's just something that happens to me. I can't explain it away. It just happens. And so I try to ground myself and flush that out as often as I can. Otherwise, I'm a walking mess. And I've had to learn how to like put a wall up because it's rough. So isn't it incumbent upon us then to try and raise the feeling that we have, the energy that we put out, or the caring that we're throwing out into the world, and do something, you know, a little bit extra than most people do, just to try and shift that that environment a little bit? Shouldn't we all be doing nice things for everyone?
I think that's what we do, though. I think that's what we were talking about before. And it's a personal thing. You have to try to find a way to pay it forward. Little things compound. How can you go out into the world every day and conduct yourself in a way that brings a little bit of peace to yourself and also rubs a little bit of peace off on the people around them? Just pay good deeds forward. As far as what we can do, where you start getting into the problem there too is thinking that, all right, everything I just described to you right now is a behemoth. It is a monstrous machine that has been built cog by cog over generations. There is no way that we can pick that apart as individuals. But what we can do is wait for this whole thing. I mean, it's going to self-destruct, and it's always meant to fall apart and spill into a new system, a new transition. What can we do to prepare ourselves to be personally, I don't know, protected from this kind of thing? How, for example, another little microcosm is education. Education is a big part of the greater scheme. How can we become independent and encourage people to become independent from that? the homeschooling, you know, getting people to get onto, you know, every time there's local elections, get onto that election board, go out and push for school choice, get yourself little by little away from the system. And you can do that locally. It's the it can only be tackled one bite at a time. And it's daunting to think that way because the enemy is so large. But I don't know. It's you have to, or else you get swallowed up by the despair of the situation. And it is a little desperate, to be honest. But you can't. You have to just motor on and think small and practical. So
I tried to do a good news day of the week at Uncover DC for a couple weeks. I got so much hate mail for it.
Really?
So, oh my gosh. You have no idea. Why do we care about this? This is a waste of time. Why are you writing about this? Yep.
Well, yep. You have to, you know what? I would continue on with your good news of the week pursuit and just leave the crazies who cannot be helped behind, because that's the type of person who lashes out at good. Like what? If you and your staff at Uncover DC take 5 minutes out of your time to take a break from constantly describing the waters that we're drowning in, you are somehow letting people down.
Yes, that's and it wasn't just one. Usually I'd just be like, yeah, whatever. It was a lot.
No, you have to let those people just languish, because they've got their own problems. They're no better than the people they think they're fighting, if that is their outlook on things. Now, my problem is that I actually had a couple of positive news sources that I used to go to sprinkle into my show as well. But all of the positive news websites that I used to go to have adopted these pro-vaccine, mm-hmm. pro-establishment stories.
Yeah.
They're talking about racism in a weird way. I'm like, oh, man, even here? You know, then that's my problem, that we need positive news right now. We need good perspective. And when you see that get tainted, and you're describing people who are upset when you don't taint it, it's you have to just say a prayer for those people and keep doing little things. I mean, Uncover DC does a lot of work in filling in really complex stories. There's no reason why you shouldn't sprinkle in a little light,
a little happiness and joking and, you know, like sometimes some fun stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that a couple things that have happened that I did want to talk about. There's a story that we published yesterday. Michelle published it. It's or Michelle wrote it. I'm sorry. It's about the ivermectin trial being scrapped in the UK because of supply issues. Have you seen this?
No. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Because I saw Peter McCullough share it last night. And then I saw the Uncover DC. It popped up in my inbox.
Actually, I was pretty excited because Citizen Free Press purpled us. They put it up in purple, which was awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah. I love that website. He does such good work over there. It's in late June, the University of Oxford announced that Principle, one of the UK government's national priority platform trials of COVID-19 treatments, would be evaluating ivermectin, the seventh treatment to be investigated in the Principle trial, along with the influenza antiviral drug favipiravir. Ivermectin, the safe broad-spectrum antiparasitic drug, was added as part of the trial's focus on treatment for people in the UK who have recently developed symptoms of COVID-19. Yet suddenly, without explanation from Merck, who's a key manufacturer of the generic readily available drug ivermectin, MedPage Today reports that Principal's trial on the drug is paused. 5,000 people were signed up for the study. Participants were randomly assigned to receive a 3-day course of ivermectin, which isn't really enough, to be honest. But hey, the trial was set to offer meaningful and much anticipated data, which probably started happening, by the way. And despite the current demand for ivermectin, a robust supply is typically available, making the supply issue challenging to understand. This is the statement they made. They say they've concluded that the probability of ivermectin providing a potentially safe and efficacious treatment option for COVID is low. And so we've prioritized internal efforts toward the development of alternative candidates that provide a higher probability of success. So that means to me, we started the trial. It was working magically. Merck has its own pill out. So we had to stop the trial and say it was supply issues.
Yeah.
That's what that says to me.
It's incredible. Really incredible.
This is where we're at. This is where we're at. Where people can't get access to life-saving medicine. Now, what I'm seeing worldwide about this Omicron variant, which is very, very contagious, apparently. But I don't know who it's contagious in. Because all of the cases seem to be in vaccinated people.
I know.
Do normal people who have not been vaccinated... First of all, I cannot get a straight answer out of anybody. Even Dr. McCullough, I don't think, understood my question. Of those of us who are unvaccinated and have not been infected with COVID, why is that at this point? Like, most of the doctors that you see out there are saying, like, if you are, like, you could have, you know, immunity to COVID, even if you haven't gotten it by now, the chances are you have some kind of immunity to it. Right?
Really?
Yeah, I've seen that in so many instances. So I want a straight answer because it's glossed over. Like, and they can't really answer it. And it's not like so I stay inside a lot, but I'm not a hermit. I travel a lot. I do events a lot. I meet people all the time. I'm constantly in big meetings with a bunch of different people. So, like, I'm wondering, for those of us like me and you haven't had it, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So for those of us like me and you, what is Omicron going to do? Is it going to be a COVID case or is it going to be a cold for us? And if it's a cold for us in the vaccinated, will it be worse? Because it seems to me, and I don't think it's a case of there are too many people vaccinated for us to be able to tell the difference, to be honest. I don't. That it's only happening in vaccinated people. All the cases they're reporting are in vaccinated people. So everybody should go out and get vaccinated, Frank.
I know. And of course, the new waves of lockdowns that they're saying are coming. Everything hints that something like that is coming. And we're talking about a situation where this Omicron thing has been known to us for, what, 3.5 weeks now? And there's only supposedly one global death that has been attributed to it? So why? It was found in vaccinated people. Still to this day, there's only one death globally in the UK that was attributed to it. And why is this the cause for concern? Of course, the real cause for concern is what's going to happen when people who have been getting these injections are reintroduced to any kind of seasonal flu or cold or whatever, which is just a coronavirus in itself. What's going to happen there? I had a family member of mine who was just commenting on it, unironically commenting on how all of these NFL players and these NBA team, everybody's starting to get sick now.
Yep.
And he says, I said, all the conclusions that can be drawn right now are really controversial conclusions, if you ask me. And like I said, unironically, my family member said, well, I guess the one thing you can say about the vaccine is that at least maybe if these people got it, it's not as bad as it would have been.
How do you know that?
Like when I saw this, the transcript of this interview that Billie Eilish did with Howard Stern, saying going on and on about how the vaccine is absolutely incredible. I got COVID last year or whatever, and I was sick for 2 months straight, and I think I would have died if I haven't had the vaccine.
What if it was because of the vaccine?
What are you, she's like 19 years old or something like that. It's a zero, statistically 0% fatality rate and 99, 100% recovery rate for people 19 and younger, if they even have symptoms at all. How can you say that you being sick for two straight months was only that manageable because you took a shot? I mean, where do you even get this unless it's religious belief?
Yeah.
It's become religious belief because there's no data. They're compiling data right now. And in many respects, they don't want anybody seeing what they're compiling for 100 years.
Yeah, I know. And I'm trying to find the clip of Joe Biden saying that a massive wave of death is set to hit the United States with Omicron, and that hospitals are going to be filled to capacity worse than ever before, and that, you know, the case rate is going to triple and quadruple every single day, and, you know, all the stuff that they're saying, you know, like The Hill, Omicron infects 70 times faster than previous COVID strains study.
Infects.
They also discovered.
That's the key word here. We're talking. They always just infections. Okay, well.
It says they also discovered that Omicron infection in the lungs was significantly lower than the initial COVID-19 strain, which may be an indicator of lower disease severity. But all they're saying over and over again, Frank, is it's more virulent. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's what happens. Like, OK, are we going to, like, you know what I mean? What? I don't even know.
I know.
And, there's a really great FLCCC video. If you want to just, who wants to get sick? I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get a cold. I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to get sick ever. I don't like being sick. It sucks. Okay. So there's a great video that I'll put in the show notes today that explains how to make that povidone iodine solution for your nose.
Oh, okay. So now here's, I heard him talking about that. This is from betadine he was talking about.
That's iodine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was bringing up specifically on Joe Rogan. But is the X-Clear still the go?
I'm using it still. I'm not using iodine because X-Clear has been proven in an actual study as well to do exactly the same thing.
Okay.
So I had such a short amount of time with him, I couldn't bring it up. And something tells me that he may not have seen those studies on X-Clear. But I'm using that. That's what I'm using.
I would love for somebody to get him a bottle of Apex water and do some studies on that too, because there's been a lot of things on that stuff.
I would like to get these doctors all together and get them a bottle of bourbon.
Yeah. No, you know, here this is the whole thing. I was talking about it last night. I was taking some calls, and when it came up, about it's one of the biggest pieces of evidence that we know that something has always been wrong. I mean, it's one thing when you have a person, I said somebody who has no medical background. Let's say you take a barista from a coffee house, and a barista from a coffee house comes up with a theory about the virus, or a theory about treatment, or alternative treatments or therapeutics or something like that. And you just have this everyday, you know, non-medical working barista tries to get in touch with the federal government. They try to call the White House. They try to call the CDC or Health and Human Services with their theories and their ideas and their evidence that they have compiled on break at the coffee house. I understand if the president or anybody at HHS doesn't take that call and doesn't want to talk to the barista. It's another thing altogether when you have these authorities ignoring people like Dr. McCullough, ignoring people like Vladimir Zelenko, ignoring people who are the credentialed beyond belief.
No, now they are conspiracy theorists.
That's what I'm talking about. It's incredible. I understand that there's some people that you just like you don't take their calls, but to ignore those who are man oh man,
like Dr. Corey, for example. But again, you know what this is doing? Like, I had a conversation with someone the other day and they are a very high profile person who's been in this field for a very long time on the left. And we were having a conversation about how we're working together on this because it's that important. And we can see through all the BS. And they're talking about how all of their colleagues who have been dogmatic Democrats their entire life are now looking around and saying, you know, I don't like these establishment Republicans at all, but I don't like these Democrats at all either. And I know who I'm going to vote for now. And it's not anybody whose name I know. Like, they're pissed. They want like a complete house cleaning. It's exactly what happened, like probably multiplied 20 infinity. When the WikiLeaks emails dropped and the Bernie supporters all looked around and said, holy crap, remember? Yeah. And they all came over and they were all watching my YouTube. They were constantly watching. I was getting messages from progressives from all over the country that were telling me, like, I don't like Trump. But and then, you know who they are now. They're a bunch of Trump supporters now that understand the free market and learned. And, you know, it's crazy, the transformation. And I don't think it's necessarily being on the right or a conservative. It's just what's moral and right and what makes sense. Like, it's truth. It's not a political ideology. It's just the truth. And I think people inherently are good, Frank. I think the majority of people are good people.
Yeah, they just need to be hit with that big realization.
Yep.
Like I was talking to my buddy Adel and Brendan Dilley, and we're doing our Thursday afternoon little, you know, show that we do. And Adel told the story about a friend of his who he is on the opposite side of almost every issue, a lefty through and through, but they still remain cordial and friendly. And he had a talk with him. Now, I'm trying to remember the exact situation, but he said that his friend was talking about the boosters, how does not want the took the first two shots, now does not want the boosters. And Adel pretty much expressed in so many words that, well, I agree with you there. And I support you in not wanting to take this because people now know that this is never going to end. Three boosters is going to turn to 12 boosters within a year. And he said, I support you in not wanting to take that booster. This is why you should support me in not wanting to take shot one and two, because obviously shot one and two are pointless at this point. You know, and he said that in having this short exchange, this very reasonable short exchange, he saw the entire aura around his friend change.
Yeah, because like, it was him then in that situation. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then also it was something that you can just see this glacier crack inside of them and break apart and realizing, ah, yeah. And realizing what you're losing and realizing that this is only a good situation, a situation worthy of indulging people with. I'm talking about going along for the ride with the following the science. It's only a situation worth indulging if you believe what's being done. If you are okay with what's being done, then it's merely a convenience, because the moment that you realize that you never had a choice, then it becomes a completely different thing altogether. You realize, holy hell.
Well, thank God it's happening before the first booster for a majority of people.
Yeah.
You know, we've got people running out. That whole BuzzFeed party was this huge super spreader event. Triple vaccinated people together in a room, all wearing masks, and like all of them are sick. And the stories are starting to come out because I think even those people are like, well, what the ever living hell?
Yeah, well, Tracy, I mean, Broadway is shutting down again.
Oh, yeah.
Every stagehand, every actor, actress, the writers, the directors, the ticket rippers, every usher in that place and everyone who has to walk in with their Excelsior passes and everything, they have to be adequately vaccinated. They have to have masks on when you enter in. There is, I don't know why there's Purell all over the place and everybody's getting infected.
That's why.
I mean, you have shut down New York City
again.
Effectively, you have closed New York City to everybody who doesn't go along with this. And now you're shutting down all of those things that people are getting people are getting vaccinated to go and take part in things like Broadway, and it's getting shut down, even though the only people who can access it now are the vaccinated.
Yeah, the people that they did, well, I want to go on a cruise, or I want to go to a show, or I want to be able to do this, or I want normal life. They all did that, and now normal life is being taken from them yet again. There's got to be a revelation going on inside of these folks. There must be.
But it's one of those things where you have, at first, you have to keep your doubts to yourself. I mean, it was something that I'm sure everybody over the last maybe 6 to 8 months, they may have had some inkling that something wasn't right. But at that point, you know that you can't undo. I mean, if you go and you put yourself into a multi-level marketing situation, like let's say you buy into one of those multi-level marketing companies and you go and you do like Pampered Chef or you want to go and buy a whole bunch of sushi knives and use, okay, well, I'm going to go do this and I can sell some sushi knives and then I can bring some people on to sell the sushi knives for me. And then all the money will kick up. And then you start realizing after a while, your friend is telling you this, you're like, oh, you know that they're part of some kind of a triangle scheme here, and you're just like, all right, whatever. I'll buy a knife from you here. Give me a butcher knife, and you can live with that, because eventually, when your friend realizes that they haven't become the pampered chef millionaire that everybody told them that they were going to be, then what's the worst that happens to them? They have a couple of extra pots and pans around the house. They can use them over the years. But when the multi-level marketing thing is getting injected with something that nobody knows what's inside of it, you need to hold on to that faith that you did something right. And then you also have this resentment for those around you who may have had a better decision-making process than you. That's the main reason why most people want people to get vaccinated. A lot of people feel like they've made a mistake and they want everybody to go down with them.
Yeah, it's true. They don't want to be the ones that like a lot of the people that did it just because of work. And now they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. This isn't fair. This isn't fair. You know, this is not fair. And like somebody said to me the other day, well, I don't have a choice. I'm like, yes, you do. You might not be a good choice in your mind, but you have a choice. You know, walking away from your income and your retirement and all the things that you've worked your whole life for is really a crappy place to be. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes, but you have a choice.
Well, let's also just put this out there, too. Some of us have jobs that are a little bit more resistant to what is happening now. I have a job that is not tied into any kind of government contracting. Therefore, I don't have a boss that is going to put this down on me.
Yeah.
There are things like that that are resistant to what's happening. But rest assured, COVID and everything attached to it is only the first step in what they have told you this is about since the beginning. The Great Reset. That is a financial, managed financial collapse of the entire world to crash all of our currencies down. It doesn't matter if you have a job now or if you're going to lose it. Whatever the hell happens, everything that's in our savings, everything that you have tied up in the stock market is in a very precarious position right now. We are all under a very serious threat.
So how do we stop it?
I don't know. But the one thing I can tell you is that whether we are in financial, high times or low times, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. Those are the choices that some people are making. I know it's a harder choice the more kids you have, the more people that you have dependent on you. But this is a real
terrible.
What a
sort of mixed bag of a show today, Frank.
Hey, yeah.
I hope that people aren't completely bummed out after they hear it. I just think we needed to get this off our chests. I hope we're not alone, too, and I doubt we are.
Well, I always indulge in these types of conversations, not in a we're all doomed. I don't subscribe to doom.
Me neither.
Because think about how many times there has been rise and fall of civilization in the past. It's all cyclical, and it creates, you know, these hard times create strong generations, people who are willing to fight the good fight and not stay in their homes and wait for orders from those who are abusing them. I mean, this is all very good. It's a cleansing that is necessary. And yeah, it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. But I always indulge these conversations not to get people bummed out, but to see what people think. There's a lot of very industrious and very brilliant, inspirational people out there who can come up with ideas, local and regional, national ideas even, that can really be helpful in times like this. And now one thing that has been happening is already true. There is a great migration of people into smaller types of marketplaces. They're localizing their economies. There are people who are looking a lot more into diversifying their investments into either cryptocurrency or gold and silver and getting into buying land, buying property instead of leasing property and borrowing things. So people are thinking more practically here to try to hedge against what is coming down. I mean, think about people like Catherine Austin Fitz. I can't wait for the day I finally get to interview her. But she has an ability to tell you straight how bad a situation that we're in, but then also be very optimistic. to talk about things that can be done and to talk with a certainty that those who are running the world into the ground are not going to walk away from this unscathed, that they are going to face judgment one way or another. It's a good time to be on the right side of everything, even though we may be destined to carry a cross a little bit longer. But it's all right, and it's good that we have these conversations. I'm curious to see what comes back.
Yeah, I'll let you know what kind of emails we get later on today. I am traveling, and I will be doing the show Monday from the great state of New York.
Oh, boy.
Hopefully we can get together, Frank. We'll see what the schedules look like. Hopefully I can make it out there to the studio. We can do a little Christmas show.
That'd be wonderful. What are you doing Monday night?
As of right now, I don't know.
Who knows? That's the...
The Christmas show is Monday?
Well, no. I have my family coming in on Thursday. I've got Chris Ann Hall coming on the show on Wednesday night. Anyway, that might be a nice night.
You know what? I would love to meet your family.
Well, that's Thursday.
I might have to do that.
Okay, there might be a room. There might be a. you won't be getting much talking in.
That's okay. Sure.
I just because especially when my father's in the room.
Oh, I just need to sit next to your dad. The hilarity that will ensue. My God.
You won't get a word in, that's for sure.
Oh, my. Listen.
Wait until Aurora really starts talking. I'm screwed. I won't get a word in.
I like the stories that your dad tells, Frank.
Oh, man. Well, either way, good Friday show.
You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Thank God it's Friday, Val, and...
Beans! You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com, and we'll be back on Monday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.